Well, everybody listen. It's time. Hallelujah. Come on in. I had to bring the golden apple for class today. Praise God. That means we've officially started. Today, before I start this lesson, it's very controversial. It is very, some of you that have joined us today, I want to warn you before we get started. There will be moments in this lesson where your mind is not ready for it. There's moments because everyone in this building has had a loved one pass away. And death is a very close thing to all of us. I lost my father last year. I stood at his bedside while he looked at me with that last look in his eyes. And I gave him permission to go, basically. And he left. And I stood at his bedside. And there was a part of me that even wanted to question my own teachings, because I wanted so bad to believe something about my dad. And so I know that it's going to be hard for some of you today. But I want to tell you, when I got through with my dad, when I left his bedside, my teachings came back to me and reminded me of where my dad was. And the truth set me free that day. Okay? Before we go any further, and with the video, have y'all started? Are we recording? Before we go any further, I want to say this to everyone today. When it comes to truth, there is no such thing as what Oprah Winfrey calls your truth. There is no such thing as your truth. There's no such thing as my truth. There is one truth. And this is it. This is truth. Okay? Amen. So today, we're going to be teaching this lesson. And while I'm teaching it, some of you might have had personal experiences. And it's going to contradict what I teach you from the Bible today. And I want to say this to everyone. What is your final authority? See, this is where you're going to have to get to in your walk with God. What is your final authority? Is it your personal experiences? Or is it the Word of God? Because your personal experiences, Sister Bonnie, will many times be from your own purview, which means your own way of seeing things. So today, we're going to show you the truth of God's Word. And the title of our lesson is The Immortality of the Soul. What really happens at death? Now, how many's ever heard, and I'm just going to blast this right out of the water before we ever get started. How many's ever heard that you have an immortal soul? Okay. All right. How many grew up hearing preaching like I did all my life? Your never dying soul, that your soul is going to live forever. Somewhere. All of these things I believed all my life until I came to know the truth. Or we could be like the Hindus that believes in reincarnation. Let me tell you something today. If you don't get your doctrine right on the soul, you will get all your other biblical doctrines wrong about everything. And that's no joke, about everything. So today we are going to talk about, do you have an immortal soul? Now I'm going to ask you before we get into the lesson, write your questions down. Don't ask them while I'm teaching. Let me get through with my presentation. I'll be done at 1 o'clock. When we get done, we'll go to lunch. When we come back, I'm going to deal in the 2 o'clock session with all the biblical verses that seem to say that we have a soul. All the biblical verses that's going to seemingly contradict everything I teach to you in the first session. We're coming back to deal with, for example, when the Bible says, what's that verse I'm looking for? That your body, soul, and spirit in the New Testament. So we'll deal with most of your questions are probably going to get answered in the next session. So if it's not, write them down and we'll get started. Let's go, Brother EJ. We're going to answer the following questions today. Go. Does man have an immortal soul? Did man pre-exist? Now, I want to stop right there. In all the religions of the world, including Christianity, there's this belief that before you were born, I'll tell you what, how many's ever heard it said we're sort of a spirit trapped in a body and we're just waiting to be released from the body? Okay, that's called pre-existence. That means, Sister Hope, that you pre-existed before you were born. And you would be surprised, the Christian preachers on your television that preaches that. Okay? And so we're going to deal with today, did man pre-exist? Next. What is the truth about the body, the soul, and the spirit? Is anyone in heaven or hell right now? What happened to Elijah and Enoch? What about ghosts and communication with the dead? Did Christ preach to spirits in prison? Are the dead watching over us? Did Jesus really die on a Friday and rise on a Sunday? So all of these questions today will be answered from the Word of God. Let's go. Here is the predominant view of the churches that you grew up in and that I grew up in. Traditional Christian denominations teach that the souls of the dead live on in a place or a condition of heaven or hell. And I put there, this is a tool in the hands of Satan. This view, Satan has twisted the Word of God from the pulpit to present this view that the moment you die, your soul goes to hell or to heaven. Let me give you an example. I posted on YouTube my video, You Do Not Have a Soul. And you wouldn't believe the preachers that went crazy over that video, angry that I would say such a thing. And the first scripture they go to is Lazarus and the rich man. Because the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell and said, I'm tormented in this flame. So, Brother Vaughn, that proves to us that people are in hell right now. No, it doesn't. In today's lesson, I will not be dealing with Lazarus. I don't have time. It would be another 2 hours. But there's a video on my YouTube channel. Write it down, Pat, because I know you do. And it's entitled, The Truth About Lazarus. That parable has zero to do with hell or fire. Nothing at all. And once you know the truth about what it is, well, I'll just make it plain to you. It's simply a parable about the Jews and the Gentiles. So anyway, so the point I'm making, when you start telling this to people, these are the things they're going to hit you with. Well, what about Lazarus? And I may try to touch on Lazarus in the second session to help y'all out with that one. All right, next. Many non-Christians believe in the transmigration or the reincarnation of souls at death. Now, how many of you laugh at the idea of reincarnation? Hope you do. Okay? But yet you believe the same thing. You just believe the Christian version of it. Because to believe in reincarnation, you have to believe that you exist as a soul that just keeps popping in these different bodies at different times. The Christian church believes that. They just reword it. Let's go to the next screen, or the next one. Now we're going to look at what God, our Creator, says. We're not going to look at what your church says or what your mama said. We're going to look at what God says about life and death in the Word of God. You may be both surprised and challenged as you discover the truth about what happens after death. Next. So the question is, what is death? Everyone in this building that's had something to do with death, let me see your hand. Anybody experienced death in your personal life? Someone you loved? Okay. So I would say this lesson is relative to everybody here today. Next. But the problem is you can't understand about death until you first know what life is. So before we go and deal with death today, the first thing we got to do is, why are you alive? I want you to think about this. If we were to believe like the Buddhists and the Hindus and the religions of the world, then we would believe, brother, that we are all part of an evolutionary process, and that your life is basically to be born, eat a little bit, go to the bathroom a few times, and die. What a thought. That's life. So the reason we don't understand death is we don't understand why you were born. So let's find out about why you're alive today. Next. Let's go to Genesis 1 and 26. I'm going to ask you to read for me today, and I'll bring the mic to you before you read so the video can pick you up. Genesis 1, 26. Whoever has it, throw your hand up and I'll come to you. Hallelujah. Let's move quickly. Genesis 1, 26. Brother Kyle, read for us.
Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth."
That's why you were born. To have dominion. Now, can I ask all of you what Oprah Winfrey teaches? I want to compare the modern church world. I'll take it out of Oprah's court. I'll bring it to the TV preacher. Do you know that the modern person believes that we are all... Do you know where this... And I got to be careful today. I've got to be so careful on this subject. So there's an idea that animals are equal to humans. That we're no better than the animal. The animal's no better than us. That we're all just part of God's creation. Read Genesis 1 and 26 one more time, and then you got to shut up with that lie. Because here's what God said.
It said, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea.'"
Let them be higher than the animals.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
You are better than animals.
Yeah.
You are better than dogs and cats. You're not. Your animal was created for men. And that's why, because men, let me tell you, there is a spirit in God's church. People don't know the Word of God. They're buying into these New Age philosophies that somehow we're all equal to animals and that we're just elevated animals. No, we are a distinct creation by Yahweh. To say that, you know why they want you to say that you're equal to animals? Because to say otherwise is to say that you're in the image of God that they don't believe in.
Right.
Let me tell you something. This animal worship is witchcraft.
Yes.
It's paganism. It's the religions of this world. God created men to rule over the animals. And dare I say, to hunt them and to eat them. The Word of God said He gave us clean food to eat. Now, I don't care what you believe. I don't care what your mama taught you. I'm teaching you the Word of God. So you were created, Sister Stephanie, to be higher than animals. Now, here's the next question. And the reason the world thinks we're animals is, have you reached that goal to where you are more than an animal? I'm telling you the purpose of your life. You were born to become something greater than what you were born as, which is a Homo sapien, an animal. But the purpose of Adam's creation was to rise above all of those animals and to rule and have dominion. That is the only reason you were born, Brother Rick, was to rise above. I'm supposed to be teaching. I'm sorry. Let me calm back down. So if you don't know the purpose of your life, you won't know the purpose of your death. God intended other life forms to be subject to man as part of a higher purpose for man. Human beings are unique among God's creation. Do you know why we're unique? Because we have God-like abilities. Listen, every person in this room has a mind. And that mind does something that an animal can never do. And I'm going to tell you what it is. Create. An animal can create nothing because they're not made in the image of a creator. But men can create skyscrapers. Men can create this building. Men can create highways and vehicles and rockets. Why? We have a God-like ability. We are creators like the creator. Folks, some of you seem like you're as lost as you can be. I'm so sorry. When you don't understand you were born to be a creator, what does that mean? I created you in my image, in my likeness, to be like me. Not like the animals, but like God. And so when you say you're equal to animals, you're slapping the word of God in the face. He created you to be gods in your mind, creators. Whenever we built this church, Brother and Sister Kendrick, they literally created something out of nothing. Isn't that what God did? Because we are creators. We're born to create. It's people that write music. You'll never find one animal that's ever written a piece of music. You'll never find one animal that's drawn a mosaic piece of art. Why? They are not you. You are the sons of Yahweh. How dare you let Oprah convince you that you're just like the rest of creation. You are supposed to be ruling the rest of creation. Witchcraft says that you're one with the trees. I'm not one with no tree. I'll cut down that tree.
That's right.
I'll put that tree in my low-down fireplace. Why? Because I'm a human. I'm not an animal. I'm a son of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Go out there and hug a tree. I'll cut that thing down. When you get through with today's teaching, you're going to see how paganism has crept into the Christian church. You're going to see how witchcraft is in your mind and you didn't even know it. Because witchcraft is not black dragons and black cauldrons. Witchcraft is anything opposite to the word of God. Hallelujah. And the church is full of witches. Because right now, Brother Vaughn, I'm not a witch. Right now, are you opposing the plain word of God in your mind right now? You got a witchcraft spirit. Because the plain word of God is the final authority. And Genesis 1:26 said God created you to be higher than all the other creation. Now just because you're not there don't mean that's God's fault. If you're still acting like a dog, still sleeping with every dog that walks by, what? Thank you. That's why they say men are, they can't be faithful to one woman. When a dog, when a female dog walks through the yard, he'll go with every one of them. That's what men are. Unless they're sons of Yahweh. That's faithful to one wife. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. Faithful to one wife. We're not animals. God's calling us to rule over ourselves. Rule over our emotions and our passions. There's a reason we don't just go outside and use the restroom in the grass. We're not animals. Praise God. Glory to God. I just found out what some of y'all's doing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah, right? Praise God. The purpose of man's life. Let's keep going. Praise God. So let's talk about the human brain. I want to teach you something now. Did you know that your brain is smaller than some animals' brains? I want to show you the difference today between between the brain and the mind. I'm fixing to teach you something that's going to change your life forever. Your brain is an animal. An animal's got a brain. How do you think animals know? This one, this service dog that's trained for Sister Maxine, she walked all over this church. He never moved from that blanket. I watched him. He's been trained in his brain what to do. Every person in this room has a brain. So does every animal. Science only knows about your brain. Okay, because that's all they can see. But the human brain is quite similar to the animal brains. So if our brains are the same size, if we don't have superior brains, and we don't, then why are we superior? Why are we superior? Because of something called the mind. Your mind is not your brain. No. You've got to learn the difference in the mind and the brain. And you'll understand then what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your mind. Okay? Next. The Bible reveals that the difference between the human mind and the animal brain is a spiritual essence that God put into your brain that animals do not have. It's a spiritual essence. You can't see it on the microscope. You can't see it under the x-ray. All you see is the brain. But there is something in you that surpasses the animal, and it is the mind, which is this unseen presence around your brain. And this is something that science will never be able to comprehend. Why do you think scientists cannot take your memories out? Because your memories is not in your brain. They are in your mind. Whew. Let's go. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2 and 11. 1 Corinthians 2 and 11. And you're like, what does this have to do with death? Because if you don't get the life part right, you'll get the death part wrong. Who's got it? 1 Corinthians 2 and 11. Read, Sister Laura.
For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him?
So where is the spirit of a man?
In him.
In him. Do you know why you and I can comprehend each other? Because there is a spirit of a man. Somebody say the spirit of a man.
Spirit of man.
That's not the brain of a man. There's a spirit of a man that is in a man. Okay? This is important that you get next. Change the word mind every time you read your Bible. I'm fixing to help you. Mind is better spoken as your spirit. How many's ever heard the teaching on body, soul, and spirit? It's all wrong. Forget every bit of it. They teach you that your soul is where you do your thinking, your mind, your will, and your emotions. They think that's part of your soul. They're wrong. Your thinking is in your spirit. Why do you think the Holy Spirit has to come? The Holy what? The Holy Spirit to change your thinking. Because you don't think in your soul. You think in your spirit, which is your what?
Mind.
Okay. So when you're reading your Bible, how many? I'll prove it to you. In one verse it says, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus also dwell in you. Another verse says, and if that same spirit that was in Christ Jesus dwell in you. The mind is the spirit. That is the part of you that will go back to God when you die. And I'll explain that in a moment. So, before I get ahead of myself, remember in your future Bible study that the mind is the spirit. Okay? Next. Now, Paul refers to the spirit of a man. We just read about it. 1 Corinthians 2 and 11. And that's what makes us intellectually superior to animals. It separates us from other physical creatures, allowing us to know the things of a man, to think and to understand on a higher plane. We were created to possess certain intellectual capacities similar to those of the Creator Himself, enabling us to develop skills in mathematics and science. Does anybody know one animal that knows anything about science? But we do. Why? We have the spirit of a man, which is intellectually superior to any animal on earth. And when I see these movies about the whales and how they want to equate us and we all worshiping whales, and them whales ought to be admiring me, darling. I'm the son of Yahweh. Nothing wrong with admiring creation, but this, we're at a level of worship of these animals instead of dominating and controlling and doing what God called us to do. Praise God. Have you ever known one animal to write a written language? Why? Because they understand barks and animals. They have the brain of an animal. They understand animals. But men are not animals. Unless you choose to remain one. We build great civilizations. We learn from the past. What makes us different from an animal? We learn from the past and plan for the future. Ain't no animal in the world learn from the past or plan for the future. They trying to eat, that's all. There's no plans in an animal's mind for tomorrow. What about your mind? That makes you superior to animals. This animal worship has taken over God's church. And if you go to the other religions, they make animals gods. Y'all know that's the truth, don't you? You can't kill a cow in India. Ladies and gentlemen, that is called idol worship. And we must be very careful that we admire animals, we take care of them, we respect them, and we love them, but we understand that we are superior to animals. Because why? Here's why. Here's why. Let me show you why the devil has brought this New Age teaching along. If I'm just an animal, then no wonder I can't stop doing drugs. No wonder I can't stop sleeping with your wife or your husband. I'm just like an old animal. The church has taught them that. You're no better than an animal. And God knows you can't live holy. How many's ever heard that one? God knows you can't keep these little 10 simple commandments. Y'all, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. What do you mean you can't not commit adultery? Exactly. What do you mean you can't not steal from your neighbor and covet what they have? What do you mean you can't do that? And the church told you that? God knew we couldn't keep these. God knew we couldn't keep them. Right? That's what they say. God knew we couldn't keep these. So my question is, then why did he write them?
Exactly.
Is he playing games with us? No. You were supposed to be like him with the ability to choose between good and evil. There's no such thing as I couldn't help myself. No, you didn't want to help yourself because you could have. You've got the mind. Every consequence has a choice. That's why I will not bond my son out of jail today. I told him, if you ever go, I'm never bonding you out unless you're innocent and I know it. Why? Because you've got to learn that you can choose the life you want. Somebody says, I hate my life. It's the life you created. Nobody told you to marry that dude. Nobody told you to marry that girl. You didn't do your research. You just believed every little lie come out of their mouth and went and laid down with them. And then you had 5 kids with them. There's your life.
Yeah.
You created your own life. When I went away for 3 years, I created that drama in my life. Why? I'm a creator. I hope you're hearing what I'm teaching right now. You create your own life. Every time you obey God, you're creating a new life. Hallelujah. Every time you obey God, you're creating a new garden, a new life. Hallelujah. I love when people tell me y'all go to church too much and y'all into the Bible too much. Then I look over at lives like my mother-in-law and father-in-law and I see their perfect life. And I'm like, you know what? If that's what going to church too much does for you, I'll take it any day of the week. Amen. They got a good life. Their children are successful. They don't go to sleep at night worrying about if the law's going to knock on their door. You know, so if that's what going to church does for you, then I'll do it. I love the very ones that's got lives made out of hell make fun of those that go to church. Because God has called you in this life, Sister Justina, to rise to your position as a daughter of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Next screen. Now, we've all got a human spirit. You've got a human spirit, and I've got a human spirit. It is our human spirit that causes us to know when we walk up to one another to just shake hands. Why? You know why? This is the mind of a man. This is what men do. When women get together, they go shopping. When we get together, we shake hands. My wife, we went to the mountains last week, and we had a friend there. Sister, if she's watching me, Sister Tiffany Nash. Honey, she had my wife over at the Michael Kors store and everything else. And I was like, we got to go back home. We got to get you away from her. Praise God. All right. Now, so you've got to understand that you've all got a human spirit. We've all got a human spirit, every single one of us, okay? Let's go to the next screen. But the Apostle Paul, read verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's read verse 12. The Apostle Paul said there's something still lacking in your human spirit. Praise God. Read that verse 12, Brother Kyle, if you've got it. Or sister, whoever had it. Who read that? Read it, Sister Laura. 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. Whoever's got it, read quickly. Go ahead, Sister Justina.
Now we have received not the Spirit.
Now hold on. Let's read verse 11 again.
For what man knoweth the things of a man?
Okay, now we're talking about two men knowing each other. Now how do two men know each other?
Read. Save the spirit of a man which is in him.
Okay, so we've all got the spirit of humans in us. All right, but listen, Paul said there was something lacking. Read.
Even so, the things of God knoweth no man.
No, start at verse 12. Okay, so here we go. But even with your human spirit, you cannot know the things of God. Why? That dog down there can't know the things of man. Because he doesn't have the mind of a man. When he barks, you don't know what he's saying, okay? However, as two men, we know a lot of things we can create, we can build, we can do all of that, but there's still something missing that has to be added into our spirit. It's almost like a computer download has to come in on top of the human spirit to understand the next level, the things of God. Now, how do we understand that? Read.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God.
Listen carefully. The only way you can know the things of God. We've already explained it. The dog can't know the things of man. That's why when you try to give the word of God to humans without them having the holy mind, the Holy Spirit, they can't comprehend the things of God. That was a great revelation. Come from the Apostle Paul. He said, even though you understand the things of man, you understand to pay your bills, you understand, you got all that, but there's something missing that will now connect the animal man to the Son of Yahweh man, and that's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you receive Holy Spirit, when that spirit, now, is it spirit or when that mind of God comes in. Remember? We all talk about the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you what that is? It's the holy mind of God. Because the Spirit is the mind. That's why when you get the Holy Spirit, you don't think like a man thinks anymore. You think like God thinks. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Here's the spirit of a man. Are y'all ready? Here's the spirit of a man. You did me wrong, I'm doing you wrong back. Men understand that. That's the things of a man. But then when that other mind comes in and moves that old spirit out and takes over your spirit, now all of a sudden, I know you did me wrong. It's forgiven. It's forgotten. What can I do for you?
Yes, sir.
That's not the things of a man right there. Is anybody here?
Yeah.
That's a higher spirit. That's another mind that's moved out the old mind. That is why you were born, to receive the Holy Ghost, so that you can rise into your potential as sons of Yahweh. What does this have to do with death? You can't understand until you understand life. Brother Jason, when you received the Holy Spirit, it didn't come to give you power to heal the sick. It came to give you power over Jason.
That's right.
It came to give, somebody said, I want to tread on serpents. You are the serpent.
That's right.
Tread on it.
Right.
Tread on it.
Right.
What serpent? Yeah. Your old thoughts. That's the serpents.
Hallelujah.
My God, do you get that? The Bible said, Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you to walk on those thoughts in your head, those biting serpents that want you to be nothing but an animal, just a little old man. Oh no, the power of the Holy Ghost will rise above the hold of the enemy. What's the spirit of a man? Here you go. I want to show you the spirit of a man? When somebody tells you to do something, and you're like, well, who do you think you are? You're a man just like me. Oh, but when the Holy Spirit comes in, and maybe it's the pastor, maybe it's an elder, maybe it's somebody in the church says, why don't we not drink drinks in the church anymore? And you say, yes, sir. That ain't a man's way of responding. That takes the holy mind of God to make us obedient, submissive. That's why, never mind, I'm not getting into wives and husbands again tonight. All right. Hallelujah. You just need the Holy Ghost. You just need the Holy Spirit. You got to get another mind, Brother Rick. Another one. And guess what? Grows every time you pray. Every time you kneel down to pray, that starts taking over and pushing out that mind of a man. Yes, you want to take the children? All the children, Sister Joanna's going to take y'all to class right now. Thank you, Sister Joanna. God bless you, darling. Sister Laura, thank y'all. All the children's going to class. Praise God. Now listen carefully to me. Listen carefully. Folks, you can't get tired on me today. We're going to go to lunch, but you got to stay with me every step of the way. Let's go. Now, Paul is speaking about another spirit. Go ahead, brother. Spiritual understanding that surpasses our human intellect comes only through that extra help, the influence and the power of God's Holy Spirit. When you were baptized in His name, something started growing in you that started taking over the old garden. A new fruit began to be born. It's up here. And it causes me to love my enemies. It causes me to love those that hate me. I can't explain. Brother, somebody said, Brother Vaughn, why don't you fight back? That's the mind of a man. But the mind of God says the battle belongs to the Lord. See, that's the mind of a spirit. It belongs to the Lord. I'm dying that He might live. The Apostle Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ Jesus that lives in my mind. Hallelujah. My mind's being changed. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you receive the holy thoughts of God. They started growing in your mind. That's why you're here on the Sabbath day. Why? Because something said, I don't care what I had planned, his word said, so here I am. Why? That's another mind. When you still got the mind of a man, it's all about what you got planned. But when it becomes the mind of God, it's about what he commands, what he says. That is the mind of God. Hallelujah. Woo. But have you ever met people that are just unspiritual? They cannot. They look at us like we're a bunch of... Okay. Have you ever looked at an animal? And that thing was acting up and you thought, that is the dumbest animal I've ever seen. That's what the world thinks about us. Why? Two different mindsets. They can't comprehend why you're not on a fishing boat today. Why you stuck in a room with a bunch of people while COVID's going around. They don't understand my faith is in the Lord. They don't understand. They don't comprehend us. They think we're a bunch of dumb animals because we're not on their level. We're not in their sphere of thinking. They're fearful thinking. Why? Because when the mind of God comes, you get this mindset that says, I'm going to die when the Lord says I'm going to die. And then I know what my future holds. There's no fear in me. Why? I got another mind. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost running through this place right now. You got to get another mind. Science is not your God. Dr. Fishy is, Fauci is not your God. The Word of God is our authority. And if I die, let me die speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Let me go on and see my Lord. Hallelujah. You know, everybody that's so afraid to die, I wonder if they really believe in the next life. Death ain't no big deal. No, because I know I have hope beyond this life. I believe it today. Hallelujah. Now read verse 14 of the selfsame chapter. 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to show you why people don't understand you, why they think you're weird, why lessons like this bore them. It's not because they're not good people, they're just not God's people. Read verse 14, Sister Justina.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
So let's take that back. The natural mind of a man cannot receive the things of God. Read.
For they are foolishness unto him.
That you look like a fool to them.
Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned.
You can only know the things of the Spirit if you have the Spirit.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to his
name. I see some of y'all arguing with sinners, trying to witness to them. You're wasting so much time.
Yeah.
They don't. You're saying A and they hear Z. Y'all on two different, you want to witness to sinners? Live an overcoming life in front of them. Let them see what your life is like. Let them see how God has blessed you. Let them see you in the house of God. That's how you witness.
Right.
Oh, Brother Vaughn, you said not to witness people. No, here's what I'm telling you. The Bible never told you to go out and win anybody to Christ. The Bible said be ready. Be prepared to give an answer to every man that asks you about the hope that you have. Why? Because if they ask, that means the Holy Spirit has already been dealing with them. Now they're ready to discern by the Spirit. Brother Vaughn, we need to just go out here and get people saved. How did that work out for you? How did that work out for you? Where are they at? You know why? Because the Spirit didn't draw them.
That's right.
You lured them.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Oh, well, let's have a candy rain and throw candy off the roof and just get people to church. I don't want them kind of people in church. Did you hear what I just said? This ain't a place for us to play. This is a place where we're growing up in the Word of God. If God don't bring them, I can't bring them. But if He'll bring them, I'll be ready for them to teach them the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. I didn't go looking. I tell you what, I didn't come knock on your door, did I, Brother John? Nobody. nobody knocked on your door. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit found you and told you where to go. When God is dealing with you, He will put you in the path of the church of the living God, and they will catch you. You're sitting there trying to tell somebody that's not saved they need to get saved, and they don't even know what you're talking about. Saved? Oh, something to hit me? What? Saved? Saved from what? They don't even believe in salvation. All they believe in is doing it their way. So what you do every day when you wake up, you pray, Father, put me in the path of somebody that you're dealing with today. Let them sit at my table. Let them ask me. Let them say, hey, what have you been doing? And open the door, because then I'll know they're ready to receive. The Bible said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Oh, but when God is... Oh, yes. What did Paul just say? I got a question. Here's a question, the first test question. According to 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, can a human being understand the things of God?
No.
Except they have the mind of God. Woo! Hallelujah. That's why people come. Some people come and say, I preach too long. Others say, keep going. Do you know why? The mind of the Spirit is receiving life.
Yes.
A church person that's trying to leave church early, they don't have the mind of God. They got the mind of food. They got the mind of pleasure. But there is a group of people that are spiritually hungry. Their mind needs nourishment. Their Holy Ghost mind needs to hear the preaching of the Word of God. They need to understand the things of God. I thought he was going to be talking about the dead. Anyway, let's go. Woo, let's go to the next screen. The purpose of your life is eternal life. Why were you born, Sister Maxine? To obtain eternal life. That's why you're alive, Sister Kathy. To obtain eternal life. Brother Vaughn, I've already got it. Says who? Where'd you get that from? Your church? No, you don't have eternal life. No, no, no. You have the hope of eternal life. The Apostle Paul said we have the hope of eternal life. What you have is the eternal seed that's been planted in your mind. And it all depends on how that seed grows, whether there's going to be a garden of eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. That's the purpose of your life. If you've not watched my teaching called Born Again, you need to watch it, because it will literally change your life. Listen to me carefully. Because the church has taught you that you have eternal life right now, let me tell every one of you something. If you've got eternal life, you can never lose it. That means the Baptists have it right with eternal security. You can never lose it. That's why I've always said Adam did not have eternal life. He couldn't have lost it. No, he was given two trees to choose eternal life, and he didn't choose it. He never lost it. You don't lose it. Anybody know what the word eternal means? Never ending. You can't lose it. You don't give eternal life and take it back. Why do you think Satan cannot die? Or God would just kill Satan. They're eternal. Brother Vaughn, I know I got... Honey, you ain't got... You still watching pornography. You ain't got no eternal life. You ain't even got enough power to quit beating your wife and slapping her around. You want to talk about you got eternal life? Honey, if you had eternal life, you're going to be looking just like Jesus Christ all the way, top to bottom and everywhere.
That's right. Hallelujah.
What you've got is an eternal seed that's growing on the inside and bringing you to eternal life. Now, The reason what I just said makes people so angry is because they believe that if you out there right now and you die, live in any kind of way, that automatically you've had eternal life, you're whisked into heaven. These teachings are destroying the power of the church. No, that's the seed. No, you don't. That's the seed. Oh, I'm telling you. That's what you're saying the church says. Gotcha. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the down payment. Y'all know your Bible says that. You ever, listen, you ever going to buy a house? You put a what on it? Is that still your, is that your house? It is if you move in it and act right. It is if you keep paying the monthly. See? Oh yeah, you've got eternal life. You got the hope of it as long as you keep praying. Long as you keep living for God and walking with the Holy Spirit, then you can say, I've got eternal life. But the moment you back away, he keeps walking on. Now here's why you got to get this understanding in your mind. Brother Vaughn, the Bible said, oh no, my Bible said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. And when they tell me that, I ask them, I said, did you not go to English class at all? Did you even go to English class? Can you tell me if shall is present tense or future tense? Future. Here, say it. Future. Shall is what? Future tense. Future. He that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ shall, absolutely. Future. Shall be saved. It didn't say he that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is saved. Shall be. This teaching don't go over too good, I know. But it's the Bible. And if you don't quit believing those lies being taught in your churches, you'll understand they shall be saved in the future. My God. This kind of teaching will make you a powerhouse for God. It will make you live right. Walk holy before God, circumspectly. Hallelujah. Praise God. Several scriptures reveal that the reason for human life is preparation for that higher level of existence, which includes immortal life. Next screen. Jesus stated in prayer to God the Father regarding himself. Read that for me. John 17 and 2. And then Romans 2, 6 and 7. And then James 1 and 12. Let's roll with it. St. John 17 and 2. Who's got it? Read.
As for you have been given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to all whom you have given him.
Read it one more time. I want everybody to hear what Jesus says. He's praying to his Father. And here's what he says about eternal life. Listen to what he says. Read it. What version is that?
That's the scriptures.
Okay, that's the scriptures. All right, read it from this one as well. I want to compare the two.
Which one?
17 and 2. John 17 and 2. Y'all grab these scriptures when you see them on the screen so I can move quickly. John 17 and 2. Hallelujah. I want you to hear both versions and I want you to see the difference. Praise God. You got it, Sister Tess?
No.
Okay.
I got
it. Okay. Read it. Yes, sir.
As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him.
He shall give eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. And it shall be given unto those that the Father has given to Christ. It shall be given.
Might give
eternal life. Doesn't it? It's no mean it's guaranteed, darling. Because you got it. The Bible said, "He that endures to the end shall be saved."
That's right.
But if I've lied to you and told you you have eternal life, sister, you are saved. Well, then what in the name of? No wonder you hate this message that I preach, because you don't see no need in obeying God. You've already been saved. Do y'all see how Satan has snuck into God's pulpit and preached this message that I'm fighting all over the world because God's people think they're saved?
That's right.
Whew. I got news for the devil. I plan on running to the finish line. I will be saved. Somebody said, above all else, I must be saved. I must finish this race. I must be saved. Woo! No wonder you don't believe in these. Why? Let me ask y'all something. If your mama calls you and says, I got a $20,000 check for you, and she gives it to you now, and you go deposit it in the bank, and you come back to the house, and she says, now, I got a list here that you need to go by in order to keep that $20,000. What's about keep it? You already gave it to me. It's gone. How you going to take it back? I ain't keeping no commandments.
That's right. That's right. Come on. That's right.
Why would we keep these?
Yeah,
if we already got what we need.
What we
it's a lie from the pits of hell. And it's destroying God's church. Anybody here tonight want to get saved? Come on down. Still shacked up, living with three women at one time. Going back out, you saved. God bless you. I'll see you next time. You just lied to that man. You just made him more lost than he was before he came. That's why the Bible said you can pass land and sea to get somebody saved, and they wind up being two folds more a child of hell than they were before you got them saved. Romans 2:6 and 7. Who's got it? Read.
Who will render to every man according to his deeds?
Wait. We're talking about salvation here. Huh. Wait a minute. He's going to render. What's he going to render? Salvation. And how's he going to render it? To every man according to what?
His deeds.
His deeds. His works.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life.
Oh my God, you just contradicted the whole Christian church. That one verse just contradicted everything you've ever been taught. Did you hear what that verse just said? That if you will continue in patience with well-doing, you will gain eternal life. Y'all need to put that scripture in your mirror, in your window. It needs to be on your bathroom mirror, because that's what it takes to get eternal life.
Yes, sir.
My Lord, have we never read that scripture?
Yeah.
Does the church, has they never read that scripture? You got to do something to get eternal life. And do you know what most preachers, you that's watching me on YouTube, if you go tell your preacher what I've said, you know what he's going to tell you? If Brother Vaughn's preaching works, then you need to turn him off. Let me tell you something. I'm not preaching works. I'm preaching holiness. There's a difference. You got to be holy if you're going to see God. That one verse ought to shut the whole conversation down. That one verse. You got to continue in well doing. Were you through? Was that it? Okay. Verse, that was 2, that was 6 and 7? Okay. Now someone read for me James 1 and 12. Who's got it? Brother Allen? I'm coming. Hold on. Yes, sir.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life.
Whoa. When do you get eternal life? When you endure temptation. Do y'all know I didn't write this Bible? You know I'm just reading it. Now how are you going to tell me you got eternal life when this Bible tells me something else?
Yeah, you got to endure.
Amen.
What did you just say?
You've got to endure.
You've got to endure. That's the purpose of your life, ladies and gentlemen. That's why you were saved, to start enduring to the end, that you might gain eternal life at that day. We need this kind of preaching. God's church needs to know these truths. Next. We have the hope. Read Titus 1 and 2. We have the hope of eternal life. Which, oh, y'all just read this verse, and this is going to set everybody straight. Titus 1 and 2. I'm so tired of the church not knowing who they are. and what their job is. Titus 1 and 2, read.
In hope of eternal life.
Wait. Do you have eternal life or do you have hope of it?
In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began.
God promised it. He promised it. And when you received the Holy Spirit, you got the hope of it. You got the start of it. It started growing in you. Every time you came to one of these meetings, it grew even more. You got more understanding of what you're supposed to be doing on this journey. Next screen. That is the danger of already receiving life right now, is you won't endure the temptations. See, if you've already got eternal life, why endure the temptation? Why not just yield to it? Why not just do it? No, because you're trying to win a crown, the victor's crown, the crown of eternal life, that I endured every obstacle. I overcame every temptation and I finished my... What did Paul say? Did Paul, when he was about to die, say, I've started my race? I finished my race and I started the faith? No, I kept the faith. And then he said, now there is laid up for me a crown. I thought you got it when you got saved, Paul. You didn't get nothing except a down payment. And the rest is up to you. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. How many plans on running this race all the way to the end? Hallelujah. This is why you got to love your enemy. This is why you got to do good to everybody. This is why you got to walk holy. Next screen. Now let's deal with the question, is man an immortal creature? Let's go. Death is one of life's greatest mysteries. Do we really die? Or do we have a soul that lives on apart from the body? A very common idea is that people are born with immortal souls. Many believe that after death, the soul is conscious and proceeds to a condition of torment or bliss. Others teach that at death, the soul is absorbed into a greater consciousness. Some expect to be reincarnated, coming back to earth as another person or as an animal. Next screen. What is the soul? We've already told you what the spirit is. It's the what?
The mind.
The mind. Now let's talk about the soul. What is the soul? Let's go. Let's go to Genesis 3:19. And then Genesis 3 and 4. I've always been shocked at how uneducated we are about the soul of man. Let's read Genesis 3 and 19. And then Genesis 3 and 4, whoever has it, quickly. Sister Justina, go ahead.
In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return.
Now that doesn't quite line up with my church, because my church said I didn't start with the dust. It said I existed before I was born. But that verse said I came from what? And it said, I'm going back to some greater consciousness. I'm going straight back to dust. Why is the Bible so simple and we make it so hard? God said in Genesis, you began not in some out there. No. You wasn't out there floating around looking for a body to pop into. You began with nothing but dust. And don't you see, this is why people don't need God. Listen to me. If they're already eternal, why do they need eternal life? They're just a soul. They're going to pop out of here and go somewhere. They're already eternal. You see the lies of the church. What we have taught at every funeral, when we put people in heaven and hell, everybody's already eternal. Why? Can I get a simple, here's a test question. Why are you fighting for eternal life if you existed before you was born? You're already eternal. I'm I'm sorry. I hope I'm not boring y'all.
Absolutely not.
I want you to think about it.
Yes.
Why are you trying to get eternal life? You're already, supposedly you were already in existence before you was born. So that makes you eternal.
Yeah, right.
And if y'all think I'm talking way out in left field, I'm telling you what the church teaches. But there's a voice of Elijah in the land today, putting some things back that's been broken in the church. Woo, hallelujah to God. We got to get it right. Now, I want to show you the first lie that was ever told, and it's the lie you hear at every funeral. Read it. This is what Satan said.
Genesis 3 and 4.
And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die.
It's not real death. Yes, you might cease to exist as you are, but you won't really die. Matter of fact, when you take your last breath, you'll still be existing. So you're not going to really, like, just like an animal, just die. If he can convince you of that, you'll close your mind to your need for eternal life.
That's right.
I'm trying to show you how Satan operates.
Yes, deception. Woo! Twisting the word into deception.
Satan said,
yes.
It's not really death. Brother Vaughn, I would never believe it. You hear it at every funeral. Aunt Sally's not dead. Well, I'm looking at her. She looks pretty dead to me.
That's right.
They
say it.
I mean,
she's not dead.
Anybody in there?
Yeah.
See, we don't want to really die, because if we're really going to die, we really need eternal life. And to do that, we got to live right. And don't none of us want to do that.
Right, come on.
So Satan has convinced you, you've already got it. That's right. That's right, Brother Ricky. Next screen. The Hebrew word most often translated into English as soul is this word right here. And you're going to need to remember this. When you see the word soul, it comes from the Hebrew word nephesh. What does the word nephesh mean? In your concordance, it means a breathing creature. That's what nephesh means. Brother Ricky, come here. Lay down on your back. Put the camera right there. All right. Yeah, cover up your little stomach area. All right.
Hallelujah.
I love this man right here.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Okay, I need you to quit breathing for a minute. Okay. Don't breathe now. Okay. How long am I drag this out? I don't know. Y'all see that right there? Let's act like there's no breath in that body. That's a body.
That's all it is.
It's a dead, like an animal. It's a dead piece of flesh. Don't let your stomach go up and down, because you're not supposed to be breathing. Now look, he's dead as a doornail. That's a body. Yahweh come down and breathed into his nostrils. Now puff your stomach up. There you go, breathe. And turned this body into a nephesh. Now it's a breathing body. And now it became a soul when it started breathing. That, Brother Vaughn, I've got a soul. No, you don't. You are a soul. This man is dead. He's a body. Takes a breath, he becomes a breathing body, which is the word soul. That's what it means, a breathing body. You can get up now. You need some help. Come on, I got you. Woo, hallelujah. I want to prove that to you. Let's go to the next screen. Now, let's go to the next screen. Now, let's read this verse. Next screen. Surprising to many, the term nephesh is used to refer to human beings and animals in your Bible. I'm fixing to show you where this animal-loving religion came from. Nephesh is the Hebrew word for animals and men, as long as either one of them are breathing. Next, let's turn to Genesis 2 and 7, and let's see if man has a soul. Genesis 2 and 7, read.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
And man was given a soul.
Man became a living soul.
Man became a soul? I thought he had a soul. He what? He turned into a soul.
Yes, that's right.
You don't have a soul, you are a soul. How many ever heard somebody say they wasn't a soul left alive? There wasn't a soul in the building. That's us. We are souls. We don't have souls. We are souls. If you're breathing, that makes you a soul. That goes for you or this service animal back here. We're both souls. Next go. I'm losing some of you. In the Old Testament, man is referred to as a soul 130 times. Next. But the same Hebrew term is also used for sea creatures, birds and animals, cattle and creeping creatures, reptiles and insects. Every one of them are souls. This is where your religion comes from, of animal worship, because they think that we're all souls. They don't know the difference. Next screen. There wasn't a soul in the room. Next screen. A soul is not immortal because it can die. Brother Vaughn, I don't believe the soul ever dies. Let's go to Ezekiel 18, 4 and 20. Now let me ask you, if you've got an immortal soul, how many's ever, just be honest, how many's ever said, I've got an immortal soul? Let me just see your hand. I have. The rest of you hadn't. I have. I've always said I've got an immortal soul. What does the word immortal mean, Brother John? Never ends. Never begins. Never ends. Immortal. Vampires are what? Supposedly. Immortal. What does that mean? You can't kill them. They can't die. So I'm fixing to show you one verse that if you ever use the word immortal soul again, you're speaking against the word of God. Read Ezekiel 18 and 4.
Behold, all souls are mine.
All souls are mine.
As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
The soul shall what?
Die.
I thought it was immortal. Now everybody's sitting there saying, okay, but all your life you believe the soul couldn't die. But what does your Bible say? The soul is going to die. That's why somebody said Brother Vaughn is cocky. No, Brother Vaughn is bold. Because I know truth. And I can't be argued because I know it from front to back. See, when you know truth, it don't make you cocky, but it makes you bold as a lion. Because you know what God said. Woo. Read the next verse, verse number 20.
The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
The soul that breaks God's commandments shall live on forever somewhere. What? Die. Does it? I know we're living in a day and age where nothing means nothing. Boy don't mean boy anymore. Girl don't mean girl anymore. And nobody knows what anything means anymore. But does anybody know what die means?
Yes.
Die.
You're dead.
Great. Dead. And the soul is going to
die.
How long are you going to argue with God's word? So the next time somebody says, the soul shall never die. What? What do you mean the soul will never die? I'm sorry, I love you, but I can't go there with you. Because I got something called the Word of God that said the soul shall die.
Yes, sir.
Go to the next one. Many religious groups teach that at death a person goes to his reward or to punishment. But the reality of what happens at death is quite different from all these ideas. There are no disembodied spirits of dead people wandering around, frightening or taking revenge on people or even helping them. When you pray to Mother Mary, you have prayed to an abomination. Mary is graveyard dead. When you say, Peter, help us in our time of need, Peter needs help himself.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray to Saint so-and-so, and you're going to disobey God's word when you do it.
That's right, you sure are.
Yeshua gave you permission to pray to one, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise God. Brother Vaughn, I believe that the dead are still alive. Well, let me ask you this. What are they doing? There you are, you and your wife having relations, and the dead's watching you. Your mama's still in the room then? You're sitting on the commode. Is your mama there with you? Think about it. No, think about it. Are the dead alive? Then what are they doing? My mama's watching over me. I hope mine ain't. All I can say. Now let's take it. Let's break it on down. What about the trouble you have in your life that they can't do nothing to help you about? They got to watch you struggle. How are they going to rest in peace when you've got them up watching over you?
That's right.
Come on.
Every tombstone in the world's got RIP on it, and you don't believe none of them's resting. You think they're watching over you. My Bible said the angels of the Lord camp around about me. That's who watches over the saints of God. We don't need mama. She can't do nothing. The angels of God watch over us. Hallelujah to God. Now, let's find out what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 3, 19 through 20. Whoever's got it. And let's see what the Bible says, Sister Tess. Ecclesiastes 3, 19 and 20.
For the event of the sons of men is also the event of beasts. One event befalls them. As one dies, so dies the other. Indeed, they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over beasts. For all is futile. All are going to one place.
Uh-oh.
All came from the dust, and all return to the dust.
Men and animals. Unless you're crazy enough to believe that the dog spirits is watching over you too. What did the wisest man on earth just say? You're going to the same place the animals go. You're no better than them. You're no different than them. When it comes to death, you're no different. You're all animals at that point. You die. So why do we want to keep everybody alive? Because we don't want to submit to Yahweh and earn eternal life. We think everybody's got it. You just said it. No boundaries. We're all eternal. But my Bible said when you die, you'll be just like a dog unless you have hope of eternal life. Hallelujah to God. Woo, next screen. Let's talk about the sleep of death. Let's read the book of Daniel 12 and 2. Sister Tess or whoever's got it. Daniel 12 and 2. Let's turn there quickly. And let's see what, somebody said, let's see what the Bible says.
Let's see what the Bible says.
Amen. Daniel 12 and 2. Y'all let me know when it gets 1 o'clock and we'll stop. Read, Sister Tess.
And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth wake up.
Whoa. That don't make a lick of sense. Hold on. Daniel sees the future. A day is coming when those that are dead wake up.
Yeah.
Yes, he does see it.
I thought they was already awake. When I went to the funeral, they said they ran through the streets of gold and the gates of pearl right when they died. But Daniel says there's coming a day when the dead will wake up. And what did he say they are right now? Asleep in the dust. But their DNA is just waiting on the trumpet to sound. And it'll reactivate their DNA. That's what recreates their body. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to make a choice today. How long will you halt between two opinions? What you believe and what the Word of God says. The dead are asleep. Brother Vaughn, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe Jesus. They said, Jesus, if you don't get here, Lazarus. If you would have gotten here, Lazarus. And what did Jesus say? Baby, he's only asleep. They was calling him dead. Jesus said, a child of God don't die. We go to sleep. And we rest for a little bit for the alarm clock to sound. And then we see the face of our Lord and Savior on that great getting up morning. Hallelujah to God. There's the hope of the church right there. That's the reason I'm in this church, is for that great day. Hallelujah. Woo, let's go forth quickly. So we are not immortal souls. We are asleep. Did you know every night you practice for death? Let me ask you this. If sleep is like death, which is what God said, when you're asleep at night, really asleep, do you know you're asleep?
No.
How long does it take you to wake up after you go to sleep? Technically, 5 hours, 6 hours. But in your mind, how long did it take? The twinkling of an eye. You didn't know you was asleep. And that's why people get confused by that verse that says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Because the moment the body is reignited, you're with the Lord. That's the only way you can get to the Lord, is you got to die. And the moment you're not dead anymore, you'll be with the Lord. You won't even know you're dead, baby. Y'all cry over me all you want to. The only person I won't cry in is Karen. Everybody else ain't got to cry. I just want her to cry because she's going to miss me. Hallelujah. Praise God. If your wife don't cry when you died, it was a problem somewhere. Some of them's calling the life insurance agent before they ever get to the funeral. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got my wife set up if I go. She'll be well taken care of. Let's go to the next. Men, if you don't have life insurance, you're not a man.
That's right.
Next screen. Unless you've got enough money, you don't need it. But if you don't, go get your $20 a month life insurance policy. Don't let your wife go to your grave not being able to take care of you. That don't make you a man.
You did not have faith in that too.
Go get you a life insurance policy. Okay? Because you need to leave your wife taken care of, unless you want her to run into the man's hands of some other man that ain't going to treat her right. Okay? I don't know where that came from, but somebody need to hear it. All right, next screen. The dead knows nothing. Hallelujah. What is going on? Oh, hallelujah. We got an amen corner over here. And men get busy, they don't think about it, but you got to think about it. You're going to die. Your time's coming. You're going to die. You make sure your wife don't have to marry the next Tom, Dick, or Harry that comes along. You make sure her home's paid for, and you make sure she's taken care of. Okay? Just like my father-in-law did for my mother, she never had to work. She's taken care of. Something happened to him today, she don't have a worry in the world. That's what men do for their wives. All right? Amen. All right, let's go to Solomon's, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 9, 5 and 10. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes 9, 5 and 10. And we're going to run through these scriptures. Whoever's got it, raise your hand. Ecclesiastes 9, 5 and 10. Go ahead, brother.
For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not, nor do they have any more reward, for their remembrance is forgotten.
The dead knows what?
Nothing.
Nothing. That's what your Bible said. If they're dead, they don't know what's going on. They know nothing. And aren't you glad about that? I mean, what are they doing? Let them rest. They had a hard life. Let them rest. They don't know nothing. I'm thankful for that myself. Yeah. Hallelujah. Next screen. What are we all waiting for? Let's go to, well, I'll read this for you. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this they go to heaven or hell. Y'all didn't catch me? Nobody's going to catch me on that? Is anybody going to catch me? What did I just say wrong?
They go to heaven.
They don't go to heaven. They don't go to hell. Where do they go?
Judgment.
When you die, you thought you was going to go to hell or heaven. Baby, did you forget about the judgment seat of Christ? That the Bible said we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. How did you go straight to heaven if you didn't go to the judgment? How did you go to hell if you didn't go to the judgment? Even Satan hadn't been cast into hell yet because he's got to go to judgment. Everybody gets a court date. What do you think the judgment is? It's when the books will be open. And you'll give an account for, you know, nobody believes this anymore. They just want you to prophesy over them. Let them fall out in the spirit. Everybody be lied to by Creflo Nickel and all the other ones. And everybody in town just lie to the people of God. And they buy it hook, line, and sinker. You don't believe you're going to judgment. That's why you're living the way you're living. Do you not know every idle word you're going to give an account for it? Not me, Brother Vaughn. I'm saved. You wished you were saved. You got started, not saved. But if you'll hold on to the end. Hallelujah to God. So, when Sister Maxine, when you die, if you go to the judgment, then how did the preacher put you in hell or heaven at the funeral? Well, Brother Vaughn, I believe judgment happens the moment you die. Well, let's see what the Bible says. Acts 17:31. You got it? Read it.
Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead.
Listen carefully. Brother Vaughn, I believe we go to judgment when we die. That Bible just said he's appointed a certain day. It's called the Sabbath day, the 7,000th year. He's appointed a day when he's going to judge everybody. So how, why are we going, you know, this is some crazy stuff. How are we going to heaven or hell when ain't nobody been to judgment yet? But see, we like to bypass that whole judgment sermon.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, before I mentioned a while ago, some of y'all forgot you was even going to the judgment. You know why? Because you thought when you went to the funeral, somebody said they was in heaven. Well, they must have bypassed the judgment. There is one day appointed. It's called the Sabbath day. It's called the day of the Lord. When he returns and sets up the judgment seat of Christ, and he judges the whole world. What happens on that day? Do y'all not remember? The sheep go to the right. The goat go to the left. What's he going to do? Call the sheep back out of heaven and the goats back out of hell?
No, sir.
Make them right before him.
Makes no sense. And we've believed it all our lives. But there's a voice of Elijah in our day. God's restoring truth to his church. Why? Because this truth will make you live for God the right way. It'll make you lay aside sin and everything that besets us. If we know we're going to judgment, that means you'll be a little bit more careful what you say about me behind my back. Because you're going to give an account for every idle word. Hallelujah to God. Is anybody getting some of this? All right. Let's go to the next screen. Let's go to the next screen. The New Testament uses a word similar in meaning to nephesh, to characterize the life or vitality of our physical existence. It's the Greek word psyche or psuche. Next screen. According to Strong's Concordance, the word meant breath when the New Testament was written. So it's going to be used the same way in the New Testament. So when you read that scripture about body, soul, and spirit, you need to have all these understandings in your mind. Next screen. Let's see what Christ said about death and what the apostles said about death. And then let's compare it to what you say about death. Next. Let's go to Acts 2, 29 and 34. Now, how many's ever heard that when Jesus died, he went to hell and preached to the dead people? Okay? And how many's ever heard that he brought them all to heaven with him? I've heard it all my life. He went and preached to spirits in prison and saved all the Old Testament. He went and preached the gospel to them and saved all the Old Testament people. I don't know if y'all have ever heard that, but that's prominent in the Christian church. It makes for good preaching too. And he went to hell and he took them all and brought them to heaven. Well, it preaches good, but it's all lies. Now, don't you think if he would have preached to dead folks from the Old Testament, don't you think there's one man in particular he sure would have brought with him to heaven and got him out of death? Don't you think he loved David?
Yes, he did love David.
So of all the people he supposedly brought to heaven with him, don't you think he would have got David? Uh-huh. Well, the verse I'm about to read to you was written about 60 years after Jesus went to heaven. And let's see what the Bible says. Read Acts chapter 2, verse 29 and verse 34.
Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day.
Now he's still dead, he's still buried with us to this day. Now read verse 34.
For David is not ascended into the heaven.
I'm done. That's all I need. David ain't in heaven, then how did your mama get there? What's wrong, Pat?
I just am so overwhelmed. You just freak me out. It's such truth.
Amen.
So amazing. Thank you.
Yes, hallelujah.
Do you know why I'm weeping right now? Because I've taught this for 7 years and so few appreciated it. The truth of this message. What God is doing with his people. Thank you, Father, for hungry people that recognize the truth when they hear it. I'm going to let you finish your little verse there.
But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand.
But David is still dead in the grave. He's not in heaven. Guys, I almost wonder, do I have to even go any further? I mean, how much plainer? If David is not in heaven, then how is anybody in heaven? Next screen. Hallelujah. Read verse 31.
He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption.
Now, do y'all see that verse right there? When people read that verse that his soul was not left in hell, they don't understand. When you see the word hell in your Bible, that don't mean hell.
No, it means the grave.
It means the grave. It means that his breathing body, his body was not left in that grave. The minute it got its breath back, it came out of that grave. Hallelujah. But David don't have that same testimony. Only Yahshua has that testimony. Next screen. His hope, David's hope, and ours is to live again through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection that's available through Jesus Christ. You see, Sister Hope, how can we preach Jesus to people if they don't know they need Jesus? You only get resurrection power through the Lord Jesus Christ, Yahshua the Messiah. That's the only way you get it. Why even come to Christ? Why do I need Christ? I'll just be a good Buddhist or a good this or a good that. But none of them can get you up on resurrection morning. Only His power of the resurrection can do that for you. If you're here today and you don't know Him and He's not your Lord and Savior, be a good day now to know that you need Him to find Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Next screen. Let's see if Paul and Daniel agreed with this. 1 Corinthians 11 and 30. Let me see what time it is. Hallelujah. We've got, so that's why I told you it was an all day teaching. We got 8 minutes. Let's roll. 1 Corinthians 11, 30. Try to read quickly for me.
I got it.
Okay.
For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep.
Many in the church are asleep. He don't call them dead. What did Paul say about the dead? They're asleep. They're asleep. Let them rest in peace. Next verse. I mean, go to the next screen. Now let's read, Brother Ricky, if you've got that, 1 Corinthians 15:51. 1 Corinthians 15:51.
See, I speak a secret to you. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed.
When?
At the resurrection.
At the resurrection. That's when we wake up. But if we're already in heaven when we die, what is there to wake up from? If you're in hell, are we going to wake up and we're going to send you back to hell after you wake up when you go to the judgment? Next screen. What did Paul say? 1 Corinthians 15:53-54. Whoever's got it. 1 Corinthians 15:53-54.
For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
When does death get swallowed up in victory? When we change into that incorruptible body. Until then, death still has victory over you. If you're in heaven, death don't have victory over you. But if you're still asleep, death still has victory. But that moment, this body's changed. It loses its victory on that resurrection morning. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14. Who's got it? You got it? Read.
But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him.
Hallelujah. Now listen to this. When Yahshua comes to this earth, He's going to call us up to meet Him in the air and then bring us with Him down to earth. Ladies and gentlemen, that's when you will meet the Lord. The Bible says you will meet the Lord in the air at the resurrection. I would sort of think that if you were in heaven right now, you would have already met the Lord. But my Bible says you don't meet Him until you wake up.
Amen.
Next screen. Oh, it's too much to get into right now. Just bring it up. Maybe I can just run through it. I still got 4 minutes left. Let's read Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. So, Brother Vaughn, when I die, what goes back to God and what goes to dust? Here's your answer. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. We're on a mission here at First Harvest to teach the truth to the whole world.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then shall the dust return to the earth.
All right, so where does your body go?
To the earth.
But there's another part of you, and it's not the soul. You don't have a soul. You are a soul. The soul dies when you die. But there is a part of you that lives on. What part is that? Let's read. That's the part of you.
And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it.
What returns to God?
Spirit.
And what is the spirit?
Mind.
The memories. The thoughts, the idle words. God put in your brain a mind. Do you know what that mind is? It's the digital recorder of your life. Stay with me. Every day, that mind is recording your life. Brother Vaughn, I don't believe that. Okay. You remember riding down the road? And this memory pops up from your life, from somewhere that you totally forgot even existed. And you're like, where did that come from? Your mind.
Amen.
It's all in there. Your personality. That's why the Bible says in the resurrection, we will know as we're known, because our personality is in our mind. And when you die, somehow, I don't know how, your spirit, your mind, your memories, your thoughts return to your Creator for safekeeping. Because imagine on resurrection morning if your body resurrected without your memories.
That comes back.
On resurrection morning, the Holy Spirit sends that mind to reconnect with your body. And together you will stand at the judgment. How do you think the Bible says you're going to be judged by every idle word? Because they're all in your
mind.
And that mind will be revealed before the God of all spirits.
Yeah.
And but on your memories, there's a little red dot. Called the blood of Yeshua. Halabahosta. And anything under that dot, the Father can't even find it. Hallelujah to God. Anything under that dot has been sealed against the day of judgment. Woo! Hallelujah. I mean, he's glad they got the red dot. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Passover's coming up. It's all about the red dot. Oh, yes. When the blood of the Lamb was applied to your mind and everything that's from that dot backwards, just like on your computer, it don't just go to the trash can. It goes to the delete. It deletes the trash. It's not there anymore. This is the power of the blood of Christ. And this is why you need the blood of Christ in your life. It erases all things, become new. Your mind's going back to God, your spirit. But not your soul, because you don't have one. You just have the breath. When you take that last one, the soul turns back into a body. And that body goes back to dust. I tell you today, you're made up of two parts, the body and the spirit. But Brother Vaughn, there's a verse that's, I'll get there in the next session. Trust me. Okay? Whew. Y'all feel that good Holy Ghost?
Yes.
If you don't have that little red dot on your mind, darling, you need to get it. Give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him as your Savior. Live for Him. And everything you've ever done, you'll be a brand new person. It's like that old person is dead. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Let's all stand today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.